Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I thank the Lord that you're able to share this time with me as we go into the Word of the Lord. And I'd like to talk about mountains for a little while. Mountains play an important part in the lives of people. And that's not only true naturally, but as we're going to see as we go into the scriptures, it's true spiritually as well. Let's start by looking at, or considering for just a little bit, about mountains in the physical world. Mountains are a favorite spot for many people. And in the natural, as far as civilization has been concerned, they and groups of people or nations, mountains have provided protection against invading armies. Why? Because they're difficult to climb. And for this reason, mountains form the boundaries of many countries. Mountains also are significant in producing the climate of a country, the amount of rainfall and so on. They shield valleys from hot, dry, crop-killing winds in summer and cold winds in the winter. And of course, the snow that accumulates in the mountains on the high elevations, when spring comes, that rain runs off the slopes and it forms rivers in the valley, which provide water for flora and crops. Mountains are unique in terms of their geography. At higher elevations, they have their own characteristic flora and fauna, in other words, their own type of vegetation and animal life. In fact, I've heard, if I'm correct, that above certain elevations you won't find rattlesnakes. And those higher elevations, generally the oxygen is thinner, and that would play an effect on certain health conditions, and also something even so simple as cooking recipes. That makes a difference. But so that's just sort of a quick overview of how mountains affect us in terms of the natural. But let's now take a moment to look at mountains in the spiritual realm. Let's look at the function of mountains in Scripture. First of all, we see that mountains, just as they were in the natural, they're a place of defense or security or safety. And for, let me give you as a scripture reference, Psalm 120, 5 and 2, which says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about His people from henceforth even forever." Praise God. So a mountain, we talk about mountaintop experience. Well, those are kind of special places in the Lord, place of safety, isn't that right, in Revelation? Also, as we look at the Word of God, we see that God chose various mountains as the scene of a great event. For example, in Genesis, the 8th chapter, verse 4, we see that Noah's ark rested on Mount Ararat when the great flood subsided. In Genesis, the 22nd chapter, verse 2, we see Mount Moriah, and that was the place where Abraham was instructed to sacrifice his son Isaac. And of course, at the last moment, an angel stopped him, and the Lord provided a ram in the thicket. In Exodus, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2, on Mount Horeb, we see Moses encounters the Lord when he is drawn and fascinated by a bush that was burning but not consumed. And then in Exodus, the 19th chapter, verses 11 and 20, on Mount Sinai, we see the law is given. In Deuteronomy 11:29 and 27:11 through 13, the mountains Ebal and Gerizim were the places where the blessings as well as the curses were read. And then we see in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, verse 19, on Mount Carmel, Elijah made his sacrifice to the Lord. In the New Testament, now in Mark 9 and 2, on Mount Hermon or Tabor, we see Christ was transfigured with Peter and James and John. And then in Acts, the first chapter, verse 12, on Mount Olivet was where Christ ascended into heaven. So they were places of defense, security, or safety. They were scenes of great events, and also the Lord selected mountains for places of divine worship. For example, in Exodus, the third chapter, verse 12, God was commanding Moses to go to Pharaoh, and he, God, said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And Isaiah, the second chapter, verse 2 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and many nations shall flow unto it." We also see in the Gospels that Jesus went many times into the mountains alone to pray. So mountains are just naturally and almost intrinsically set apart as a place to draw close to God. And mountains are also spiritually significant. Why? Because they do represent a place in the Spirit very near the presence of God. Psalm 87 and 1 declares, "His foundation is in the holy mountains." And then that marvelous passage in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, where the word of the Lord comes to the prophet and he says, comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, for the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Hallelujah. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, and say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Hallelujah. We're to get up into those high mountains, beloved, as mountains are the source in the physical world for streams and rivers, so in the spiritual realm, they're the source of living waters. Praise God. And then I'd like to share with you a passage in Amos, the 9th chapter. And I want to read verse 13, where the prophet says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt." Hallelujah. And I'm going to read verse 14, "And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them." So that is talking of a place of spiritual abundance. And then also, finally, I'd like to share with you, as far as the functions of mountains in scriptures, that they are illustrative of the church of the living God. In Daniel, the second chapter, verse 35 and verses 44 through 45. In fact, maybe I'll just take a moment to read that. In fact, here we see that the prophet is describing Nebuchadnezzar's image, a stone cut without hands, and it became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And so let me just share that. Thou, O king, he's now speaking to the king, and he said, thou sawest a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass, the silver and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Hallelujah. And verses 44 and 45 declare, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Hallelujah. And he goes on to say, The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Praise God. So this is an example of the church of the living God, that stone not made with hands, hallelujah, Jesus, which is which destroys all the kingdoms of this world, and the kingdoms of this world will now become the kingdoms of our God. Well, on tomorrow's broadcast, we want to look at another illustration of what mountains represent in Scripture, and I invite you to tune in at this same time. But in a moment, the announcer is going to give you our mailing address, and I invite you, if you have prayer needs, if there are things you are wrestling with in your life, if you have needs in the lives of loved ones, I ask you to just note down that contact information, and as soon as I receive your letter of prayer request, I will personally pray for you and send back whatever the Lord gives. I want to thank you, UCM Partners, for your prayer support and your financial help. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be you.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.